So welcome to the 12th lecture. So next week is the last week. We have two more lectures to come. And well, the exercises for next week start with something which we will need in the future, that if you have the Brownian motion and we consider e to the times a constant, but e to the a times bt, bt is the Brownian motion, then this has a finite expectation. And here I assume the a to be positive, because then you don't have to distinguish too many cases. And later on we will need this for any a, and maybe you can think about, well, if you think in your mind that a is equal to zero, then probably don't have to work. But you can think about that you also don't have to work if A is negative. Maybe this depends on the properties of the Brownian motion, because you have here just a Gaussian random variable. Okay. Yeah, and then we introduced e to the integral, and maybe it's good to practice a little bit. So I have very simple questions where you have to find out whether these examples are simple processes, and if so, then you should simplify this expression as much as you can. The next question is on E to isometry. And this is still for simple functions, so this is even what we proved, so that should be very easy. Then we have E to's formula. And here, I want you to develop a certain discipline, because if you don't follow the rules for Ito's formula, then you can make something wrong. So it is a good habit always to think first about this function f, so that you think of a function f of t and x. And if you plug in your process into x, you should get the expression if you want, which you need. So also in the example, in the demonstrate in the lecture notes, I used an example where the process which I plug in here is just the Brownian motion. This is also the case here. And actually, it's yeah, in these two cases, it would be the same. So you have to think which function you could use such that it gives you these expressions. And then you apply Itô's formula. But first, you need to think of the function. And here, the function would not be the Brownian motion, but you can find a different, the process would not be the Brownian motion. And here it might be, depends on you, what you choose. And then you should apply Itô's formula to these expressions. What is five star? This is just a question about equivalent probability measures, and has not really something to do with finance, but with mathematics. Okay, the last one is needed in the lecture. So we will not prove Cassano's formula, but we will use that. So Cassano's formula is used to change a process into a martingale under certain conditions. And this is what we sometimes need. And actually, this is a method to find our so-called martingale measure. And in the situation we are now. And there are several steps. And in the step A, you can use question one if you want. So you don't need to do it twice. Also, if you only do six star, you don't need to solve question one. You just can apply it. So for this guy being a martingale, it's useful to know that this part is integrable, because that one doesn't harm anyway. Okay, and well, there are some questions, and you just follow the rules, and in the end, you can show what you're supposed to show. Okay, so far do the exercises. So let me start with the lecture. I promise that today I'm coming back to finance. this is what I'm going to do now. So we introduce our market model, so to say, now in the continuous time. Now it's writing. Okay, sorry, this is because of this writing program is not the newest one, but it depends on my computer. He doesn't want to let me use the newest one. So this is an old writing program which has some flaws, but we will overcome the problems. Okay, so the new section is the stock price process. So we define a continuous time market model. Our first assumption is omega FP is a complete probability space. Meaning that all subsets of null sets belong to the sigma algebra. Then we take our filtration, and we have introduced that already. I think I did right in that way, so I continue like this. And for technical reasons, I'm claiming here that this filtration should satisfy the usual conditions. We had introduced then them, and you won't notice that I need them because the most of the proofs are a little bit not done. Okay, so what is our okay? So I have more assumptions on this filtration, so I'm writing like that. It satisfies the usual conditions, and I want moreover that if so that the sigma algebra F0 only contains sets which have either probability 1 or probability 0. So in the discrete case with finitely many omega, we had the situation that we take just omega and the empty set. This is not possible here anymore because here you can have null sets which are not empty, and you will have if you have the Brownian motion. So I say if A is an F0, then the probability of A is equal to 0, or the probability of A is equal to 1. So such a collection of sets actually forms then all subset sets of omega with this property actually form then a sigma algebra. So I can get all these subsets by completing. But this is technical stuff. We don't need that so much. Okay. So we have a probability space, we have a filtration, we need our processes. And these are so-called D plus one traded assets. So assets is a bit of Oxfordish for share prices and bank account process. So we have D, share prices or stocks, depends on what word you like best. I take it as synonyms. Oh, like that, I guess. And we denote them by S1 up to SD as usual, but now it depends on T, and T is continuous. And one bank account. And because the bank account is of totally different nature, because it's deterministic, we always call like D plus one. Okay, so what can we say about S0? So this is usually given like e to the r of t. Where r of 0 is equal to 0. And what else? This is only for example. The simplest case would be that R of T is equal to some R zero times T, and R zero is greater or equal to zero. It can be more complex a function, but it doesn't matter for us that much. So we assume that the share prices or share price processes, to be more precise, are generalized, or there are several ones, it's plural. Geometric Brownian motions. So that's their name. And we consider two cases. So what are they now in detail? They are given as follows. We have S of T is equal to, okay, S1 of t is equal to S1 of 0. This is just a constant in general, or almost truly constant, but we assume it's constant. And then we have an exponential term, which is given by a stochastic integral, Itô integral for us. And another term of the shape alpha of s minus 1/2 sigma squared of s t b s. So everything, t s, sorry. So everything is in this integral, and the whole thing is in the exponential. And what are these functions? So alpha and sigma, in this situation, they map from omega times 0t. So we consider this only on the interval 0 capital T, as we also defined our integral there and so on. Yes, that's it. Mapping into R, and they are supposed to be bounded measurable. So we said at some point what is jointly measurable, what kind of sigma algebra we use, and so on. This is all still valid and adapted. Okay. So this is one important today it functions. Maybe I should try again to make it nice. Okay, almost like that. So this is one of our important equations, and we had learned about Itô's formula last time. I'm not computing this here, but if you apply Itô's formula on this expression in the usual way, so you could use this as your process xt, or you need to do this here because there's no other way, I would say. And then you apply Itô's formula. That S1 of t is given, or we can write S1, so this is for all t, and I'm giving this a red star. Then S1 of t can be also written like S1 of 0, sorry. We don't change the shares into the bank account. And then we get the integral alpha of S, S1 of S, dS, plus the integral from 0 to t sigma of s sigma s1 of s dbs. And you can, with a trick using the Itô's formula on this again, you can also show that if you have it given like that, then you get the formula like this. So it goes both ways. Okay, so we can either write now S satisfying or is given by this part. So here we have sigma and alpha. And on this equation, so this is actually a so-called stochastic differential equation, because you have the process S1 on both sides, right? So if we wouldn't have this Itô integral term, then this would be an integral equation. And if you take the derivative, you could write it as a differential equation. And so this is a stochastic differential equation. And usually our colleagues always denote a stochastic differential equation as an SDE. Okay. Yeah, and since I have written here S1, I should write here that this equation holds for all t in the interval 0 capital T. So I said that this is called the generalized geometric Fourier motion. Yes, and we need, okay, yeah. And a special case for still for D equals one is the geometric Fourier motion. So this is a very nice process because it is easy to work with, since what we assume now is that the sigma and the alpha are just constant, constant in time and in omega. So that would mean that S1 of t is equal to S1 of 0 times e to the, that's too far away. So if this is constant, what do I get? I can take the sigma out. And I could, so to say, integrate the Brownian motion, and I would get B of t. And the same here. Okay, so I would get sigma times B of bt plus alpha minus sigma squared half times t. And of course, this equivalence still holds. So this equation or this representation is the solution of the stochastic differential equation given like this. So that means that we can already talk about solutions of stochastic differential equations. Namely, that is nothing else what this relation means. So this expression solves this equation. Okay, so having just one share price process is not very realistic. So for the real world, you'll need more share prices. And so if D is greater than one, then we assume that the random influence is D-dimensional. And it's coming from a D-dimensional Brownian motion. So intuitively, since I said that actually this situation now is just the limit of the discrete time case. So if you have D share prices, then it would be reasonable. And I said that the movement of the share price is kind of simulated by tossing a coin. So it would be reasonable that each share price is changed according to one tossing of one coin. And if you have another share price, you should not use the outcomes of the coin from that share price, but you should toss again so that it is independent. So the movement of the share prices should be independent from each other's. And this is what we do with a D-dimensional Brownian motion. So what is a D-dimensional Brownian motion? This is, it consists of D Brownian motions, one-dimensional ones, So we have each of them is a Brownian motion, this b1t, bdt. So this is not an exponent, it's just an index. But it's common to write it on top. And what do we assume from these Brownian motions? We assume that they are independent. The whole process is independent from the next. How can you create such an object? So if you know a little bit about probability one and two, then you know that you could let live each Brownian motion on one probability space, and then you take the product space, and then you get the independent Brownian motions. But we just assume they are given on our probability space, so we don't need to create one. And if I say Brownian motions, I always mean standard Brownian motions with expectation zero and variance of BT is T. Okay. And now we assume that these share prices are not just ruled anymore by one Brownian motion, but by all of them. So how can we do that? So the ith share price is given by the ith initial value plus we have an alpha I, and we multiply this with si of s ds. But for the Itô integral part, we use the following. So we assume that we have the Si of S, and then we have a matrix Si, sigma ij of S, d b j, j must be on top. Okay, that's not enough space. I'm putting this here. So we have Si of S, sigma ij of S, d, b, how did I write it? S, and j is on top. And we integrate from 0 to t. And now, this would mean that I'm using the jth Brownian motion, but I want to use all of them. So I sum over j from 1 to d. And again, we assume that the alpha I, sigma I, j, and so this holds for t in 0 t as usual. And the alpha I and sigma I, j are again bounded, jointly measurable. And adapted processes. Okay, so here this is a bit different. So we assume that the randomness which exists can influence each share price, and how much is kind of ruled by this matrix. Okay. So the next we have is trading strategies. And I have to apologize. This lecture notes is coming from two sources, at least two sources. One is my own old lecture notes, And the other one is Stefan's new lecture notes. So the first part, the discrete part, is from Stefan's new lecture notes. So it was a bit more modern because we assumed super hatching and so on, which was not a subject of my old lecture note. But then I switched to my old lecture notes because in the second part, in the continuous part, it was assumed that everybody knows already what an Itô integral is and so on. And it started right away with techniques. And I thought it was a bit fast. So I used my old one, but the disadvantage is that I have different notation. So I didn't change the notation. I just noticed this morning that actually the notation is not consistent. Sorry for that, but I think you can adjust. So what I wanted to say is now the trading strategy is not anymore psi, it's phi. Assume there are shares or share prices. S1 of t, well, we don't need to mention the t, right? Okay, we could. S d of t, t and 0 capital T, and a non-random bank account process. Now it works. So we define what is this trading strategy. The stochastic process phi of t given by phi 0 of t, so that's the old psi then. Is a trading strategy if, now we have similar conditions as in the discrete time case, but we need a bit more technical stuff because we want to, or we need to integrate and so on. So the psi I map from the time and omega into R. And they are measurable in the usual way. And adapted. And we need another technical condition so that our Itô integral exists in a way that we can take expectations. So this condition means that the phi I times the si is in this space L2, which we introduced in order to have an E2 integral. So we assume that the expectation of this integrated with dt and summed up over all I is finite. Okay. Remark. Phi I of t denotes the amount of shares of asset I. So I goes from 0 to D. And yeah, held in the portfolio or in the trading kind of trading strategy is a little bit a synonym of that at time T. So this is the same as with the Pseisse in former times. And I forgot at that time to say, and I want to say it now. So these are real valued objects, as you can see. So we don't assume that you have one share or two shares. You can even have the amount of P of pi shares or whatever, of 1.5 share. Everything is permitted. And you can also have minus 2 shares. Why is that? So it's allowed to what is called short selling. So notice that phi I of t is an element of the real line. And if phi I of t is less than 0, it is called short selling . So this is a finance concept, and my childlike explanation is that we are selling a stock which is not owned but only borrowed. Okay. So we have our trading strategies, and we continue with so-called risk neutral or fair pricing. Okay, so what is about this? So our aim is a method to compute the fair price of an option. So what is a fair price? A fair price is that you cannot have a riskless profit. So this is the same as in the discrete time case. So if one does not use this fair price, then one of the parties can make a riskless profit. So this we want to avoid. This is our aim. And the name is of this method. Is risk neutral pricing. And what is the tool? The tool is an equivalent martingale measure. And we define what is an equivalent martingale measure in this situation. A probability measure Q on omega F is an equivalent martingale measure . And since we use this a lot, I'm using a common abbreviation, EMM, like equivalent martingale measure. If two conditions hold, so we started out with a probability space omega FP, right? So the P we have already, that's why it's not mentioned in the definition, and Q is equivalent to P. Which we write Q equivalent to P. If and only if the following holds, we said the equivalent martingale measure in the discrete case with finitely many omegas means that if Q is of a little omega is positive, then so it is P. But this doesn't hold anymore in the continuous time case because you can create probability spaces where think of the Lebesgue measure where the measure of each single omega is zero, and this doesn't make any sense anymore. So what does one do in these more general cases? One works with the zero. So Q of A is equal to zero if and only if P of A is equal to zero for all omega, all A in F, sorry. And what is the second? And then we have the break. The discounted price processes Is this already again the end of the page? Yes. Okay. Let's do it like that. I'm writing them here. So S tilde, as usual, and similar as in the discrete case. So we divide S by S0, and this is now, the S is now a vector. So you divide each component by S0. I think this is clear. Q martingales. And my last comment is, I think in the lecture, in the exercises, there came up this question that it wasn't so clearly formulated why the martingale measure is required, was wished for or searched for the discounted processes and not for the processes itself. For finance application, this is kind of clear because what is the influence of the interest rate? So if you have some money on your bank account, then according to the interest rate, this money is increasing. But actually, also the prices of the share prices would go up, because otherwise there would be arbitrage possible. So this means that by the same factor as your money on the bank account goes up, also the share prices go up without producing more wealth, so to say. So if you want to really know what is going on, then you have to discount. You have to take away the effect of interest from the whole system. And this is by dividing by this S0. And then you kind of take away the effect of this interest rate. So you see that, because if you choose R to be zero with no interest, then you would have you would divide by one, so to say. So there would be no effect. And if you take away this effect, then afterwards you want to have that the share prices move like a martingale. So you cannot make any tendency winnings anymore. So the expectation is constant of your winnings. So that's why we use the discounted processes to get our martingale measure, because we want to have them to be a martingale. We want to first to take the effect of the interest rate away. That's the point of discounting. Okay. So I'm starting in about 15 minutes. So this will be 12:07, 12:18. Okay, let's have a break.